Don't ever come up here with just one again. Don't you love it when you come in and you look and that bass is sitting there and the guitar case is open? We're blessed to have you as a part of our church family. What I'd like to do between now and Easter is spend some time in the last week of Jesus' life. There is so much that's written in that last week. Fully 40% of the book of John deals with Jesus' last week. And so I want to just pick some of those stories out, and I want us to look at them. And what I want to try to do is a couple of things. First of all, most of these are historical narratives. We're going to be looking in Mark chapter 14 this morning, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. Now, it's a historical narrative, and yet it's got a lesson in there that we need to look at and we need to apply to our lives. I have never found a part of God's word that does not apply to my life. And if you read prayerfully, you'll see what I mean. All right. We're going to look at Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. And this is not going to be a long, kind of drawn-out sermon. I don't even know if I'm going to preach, but I know this. I will try to take the story from the page and give it some perspective where we live today. And then I just want to share some important things that we learned from the passage. All right, Mark chapter 14. Now the Passover and unleavened bread was 2 days off, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, "Not during the festival, lest there be a riot of the people." And while he was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good. But you do not always have me." She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her. Pray with me for a moment. Father, lend your power to your word. And through your spirit, speak in each heart to the honor and glory of Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. To give you some historical background and try and bring some perspective to the story, I want to just look at some of the words and some of the things that are said. Now, it speaks about, in the first two verses, being the time of the Passover and unleavened bread. That was two separate feasts. There were three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, which were mandatory. If a male lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem, it was mandatory that he attend those feasts in Jerusalem. The unleavened bread went on then for 7 days after Passover. Now, I want you to think for a minute about the crowd that should have been there. You know that on Passover, families sacrificed a lamb. You'll know that you remember that Passover was a remembrance of that night in Egypt when the death angel passed through the land and took the firstborn of every single household except those that had the mark of the blood of the lamb on the doors. And so with that thought in mind, how many people do you suppose made up this crowd that they were talking about? The earliest history that I've ever seen was 65 AD, and a Roman historian at that time said that the Passover was extremely important for the number of people that were there. And that particular Passover, 256,000 sheep were sacrificed. Every sheep had to have at least 10 people as a part of that family group that partook of the sheep. You're talking about 3 million people that were in Jerusalem in that time. The passage goes on to speak about this woman and her alabaster vial, and it said it was very costly, perfume of pure nard. It was costly because it was extremely rare. Came from a very rare plant in India, and that's where it had been imported from and was very, very costly. It was normally used in burial. It says that those who were indignant with the lady over what she had done said that she had wasted the perfume. Now, I'm not even going to comment on that. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anything that you ever do for Jesus that's wasted? I promise you there's not. And those that were whining and those that were so indignant themselves probably had never done anything for Jesus. And they were irate to see someone lavish all of that on Jesus. Jesus told them that she had done a good deed to me. Now, good deed is not a good translation. A better translation of the word kalos would be, she has done a very lovely thing for me. In the South, you know, if somebody gives you a particularly meaningful gift, you put your arms around me, you hug me, and you say, that was so sweet. That was so sweet. And that's what Jesus was saying about this. I mean, you can give a good gift and give it grudgingly. You can give it as a duty. There are a lot of ways you give it, and it doesn't mean a whole lot. But when you give it in this lavish manner, then it's very meaningful. It's said of the gift that it was worth 300 denarii. And you heard me tell the kids a denarii was one day's wages. But I want you to put a price tag on it at today's wages. If, in fact, a man made nothing more than minimum wage and he worked every day of the year, the days that he was supposed to work, His income for that period would have been between probably $18,000 and $20,000 today. When's the last time someone lavished a $20,000 gift on you? Put it in perspective. How many folks put $20,000 in the offering plate today? Think about it. You see, when Jesus said that was a lavish gift, he wasn't kidding. But more importantly than that, it was not only lavish, but it was all that she had. Jesus said that she has done what she could. And so as you think about the story and try and bring it up to speed for today, do you see a difference? How many times have you read it and said, 300 denarii? Next time you read it, say $20,000. $20,000. That puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Now, I want to, that's kind of the catch up, if you will, of the story, to bring it up to speed for today. But I want to share with you just some things that the passage teaches us about serving the Lord. I've had people ask me, they say, well, how can I serve the Lord? And the first thing that the passage tells us is that you start where you are. Start where you are. I can remember in school, in seminary, classes were hard. There was a lot of homework. There were a lot of papers, yada, yada. All that goes on and on. But still in all, there were opportunities to serve the Lord. Now, I knew some people that were going through school. They spent all their time studying. Now, that was a good thing. And you know what their thought was? Well, when I get out and a church calls me, I'll serve the Lord in that church. And then there were a lot of people that spent their Saturday preparing a Sunday school lesson and taught Sunday school on Sunday in a local church and sang in a local church choir, even though they were great music majors at the seminary. You see, you start to serve the Lord where you're at. I literally had a fellow one time tell me, and he was 80 years old, and we used to do a nursing home ministry, and he would sing specials at the nursing home. And one day when we were eating lunch, he said, you know, Brother Bob, years and years ago, I made a deal with the Lord. And I thought, oh, man. And I just sat there. He said, I told the Lord if he would prosper me and take care of my health and my career and help me provide for everything I'd ever need, then when I got retired, I'd serve him. What I wanted to say, it sounds an awful lot like a guy in the Bible that said, I've got all these crops, let's build some more barns to put it in, and died the day of harvest, and Jesus said, thou fool, today thy life is required of thee. Never got a chance to do those lofty things. You know why? Because he never got started. And so you start where you are. Keep in mind that where you are is where God puts you. And so you need to serve him where he puts you. Secondly, use what you have. I hear a lot of people talk about, well, if I had this, I sure would serve the Lord. Don't worry about what you don't have. Use what you have in serving the Lord. There's a story told at Christmas, and it's about a young man and a young lady. I don't know, they were newlyweds, and they loved each other. But they were very, very poor. And their first Christmas, The man wanted so much to get a nice present for his wife, and he had no money. And his wife secretly wanted to get something very nice for him, but she had no money. Christmas Day came, and the man smiled at his wife, and he said, "Dear, I got you something." She said, "You got me something?" She said, "Well, I got you something too." His only possession was a watch that had been handed down to him from his grandfather. And his wife had these long flowing curls, and he had sold his watch to buy hairpins, beautiful hairpins for her hair. She had nothing but her fine hair. And so she had gone to a wig maker and she sold her hair so that she could buy him a little watch bob for his pocket watch. And that Christmas morning, each opened their gift and they looked at each other, and she reached up and pulled her sleeping bonnet off and the hair was gone. And he said, "You cut your hair." And he looked at the watch bob, and his watch was gone. You see, what they gave each other was everything. And when you think about the Lord, use what you have. Don't whine about what you don't. The third thing is do what you can. Do what you can. Don't worry about the can'ts in life. Do you know there are things that I can't do anymore? Now, that's hard for me to believe. I know it's not hard for you, but it is for me. I'm having difficulty with that. But you know what? I still want him to have 100% of who I am and what I am and what I've got. How about you? And I don't worry about what I can't do. I do my level best to measure on doing what I can. Doing what I can. And the last thing the passage tells us is do it while you can. Do it while you can. You see, it's a matter of opportunity. What if the woman in our story had waited a week? And she would have looked at Jesus 2 days after this on the cross. And forever she would have said to herself, "Oh God, I meant to give that to him. And I missed the opportunity." Don't ever wait. If you're going to do it now. Do you understand that if you don't do it as the Spirit moves you, then the time will move on. And the opportunity will be lost. By the way, there's one other thing in the story. The woman did all that she could for the Lord Jesus. There was nothing left undone. And without knowing it, she had earned a wonderful reward. There are two ladies in the Bible that Jesus said will always be remembered. The woman here that gave all that she had, and the widow that put all of her living in the offering. You see, when you give it all, you say, "Jesus, I love you. I give you everything. And I trust you for today and tomorrow and every day of my life. And the question is simply this: what does your serving say to Jesus? Let's pray together. Father, I pray that when each one of us comes to the end of this life, and you wrap your arms around us and take us home, and then we stand before Jesus, I pray that we might stand with no regret, and we might hear those cherished words, "Well done, good, faithful servant." Oh God, help us. God, help us to live without regret and to honor Jesus with all that we are and all that we have. In his name we pray. Amen. This morning I invite you to stand very quietly and very prayerfully. Every head bowed. Did you ask yourself that question? What does my gift look like? Right now. If this was the end, right now. Trumpet blows, the Lord comes. Would there be any regret? The Bible says that we need to do things while it is yet called today. And we can start over this moment. If you'd like to do that, all you need to do is come to Jesus. Say, "Lord, I'm going to start fresh. From this moment on, it's all yours." It might be that you've never, ever trusted him as Lord and Savior. This might be the time you need to come. Say, "Oh God, forgive me." Surrender your life to Jesus. Whatever God lays on your heart, I invite you to come to Jesus. You don't come to me or the church. You come to Jesus. Praise team's going to sing the hymn of invitation. Will you come to Jesus?